Osho, the invitation, responses to disciples' questions, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 28.
Beloved Bhagwan, who is this ghost writer who is making the golden rules?
As far as I'm concerned, there is only one golden rule, that there are no golden rules. What are known as golden rules are only gold-plated. And these so-called golden rules are obviously made by people who have gold. You can see that these rules are not golden, but only gold-plated. Women have a much better time than men in this world. There are far more things forbidden to them. Many a romance begins when a girl sinks into his arms and ends up with her arms in his sink. Bachelor, a man who comes to work each morning from a different direction. Milligan's law of home economics. Two can live as cheaply as one for half of the time as long. You have heard of the three ages of woman: youth, middle age, and you are looking wonderful. Golding's law of typecasting. The world is divided into two types of people. Those who divide the world into two types of people and those who don't. The meek shall inherit the earth, but not its mineral life. Women are entirely to blame for men's lies. They keep insisting on asking the most awkward questions. A thing is not necessarily true because a man dies for it. Klein's law of possibilities. Nothing is impossible for people who don't have to do it themselves. In this world, there are only two tragedies. One is not getting what one wants, and the other is getting it. Middle age, later than you think and sooner than you expect. Old age is not so bad when you consider the alternative. Percy's law of laziness. The world is divided into two sorts of people, those who are willing to work and those who are willing to let them. Karl Marx says, to do is to be. Albert Camus says, to be is to do. And Frank Sinatra says, doobie, doobie.
My beloved master, is it possible to experience love and meditation at the same time?
Taglis Bharti. Love and meditation are not two things. Hence the question itself does not arise. Love is a meditation, and meditation blossoms in love. Of course, when I use the word love, I don't mean the love that ordinarily is understood by the world. I don't mean the biological infatuation. Anyway, it is not love. It is simply your chemistry, not you, which feels attracted. And under the chemistry's illusion, you think you are in love. But that kind of love, every animal, every bird, knows perfectly well. Only man seems to be deluded. And deluded so much that all animals in the world except man have a certain season when they are infatuated. Their season of reproduction. A very limited period in the year. When biology overtakes them, makes them completely blind. Forces them almost against their will. Have you seen two animals making love? And have you seen them even smiling? They will look so bored that how to get out of it is the only problem that is troubling them. The whole year they look more relaxed, more at ease. More in tune with nature and with themselves. But when the reproduction season comes, they all start looking sad, serious, saintly. They forget their playfulness. They forget their freedom. Suddenly they feel themselves under a kind of hypnotic trance. In fact, it is a chemical trance. That's why scientists are able to change sexes very easily. A man can become a woman can become a man. Just a very small change. A change in the hormones, in the chemistry of their bodies. Just a little bit more hormones and the woman will start growing mustache and beard. Now there are many people in the world who have changed their sexes. Sometimes it has happened automatically. Because men consist of both man and woman. Something is contributed by our father, something is contributed by our mother. So you are both. Your father and your mother. part man, part woman. Whichever is more in percentage, perhaps 60% man and 40% woman, then you are man. Or it may be otherwise, then you are a woman. This percentage of hormones can be changed just by giving you injections. And in the developed countries, there are already men who have been born as women, and women who have changed to men. But in the beginning, the very idea came to the mind, because once in a while there was an accidental case. For example, in the very beginning of this century, in London there was a case. A man fell in love with a woman, and he married the woman. But after the marriage, he was very much amazed that the woman slowly started changing into a man. After a year, he was so much ashamed that the whole town was laughing at him. His woman has turned into a complete man. He went to the court for divorce. The court was puzzled. There has never been a case like that before the court. And the man was perfectly reasonable. He said, I had married a woman. I have never married a man. Why should I marry a man? Obviously, the marriage is cancelled. In fact, I don't need any divorce. But just not to be illegal, I am asking for divorce. His wife was sent for a medical examination. There was no need, because she has mustache and beard. Her breast has disappeared. There was not much need, but not to take any chance, the judge said, let her be medically examined. If the doctor's report says she has become a man, then there is no question, your divorce is accepted. That gave the idea to the scientists that perhaps that woman had a very small difference between her male hormones and female hormones. Perhaps 51% women, 49% men. And by some change, climate, food, some medicine, it can be anything that altered the proportion between men and women in her. The difference was very slight, very borderline, and she became a man. This opened a door of great research. And it was found that every man can become a woman and every woman can become a man. This reminds me that in the East, from the very beginning, almost 10,000-year-old statues are available in which Shiva and his wife Parvati are represented as one personality, half man, half woman. It is a beautiful aesthetic and artistic sculpture, and that's how it has been thought always. A beautiful metaphor, but nobody has thought that it is a reality. And the people who had created that statue must have come to know that every man is carrying a woman within him, and every woman is carrying a man within him. And this change is not impossible. My own feeling is that in the future many more people will be changing, because why not have both the experiences in one life? Most intelligent people will change. Unintelligent always are afraid of any change. Otherwise, you have lived as a woman for 30 years, now it is time. Why not have a look from the other side? Why go on living on this bank? The scenery from the other side is also very beautiful. And only then the old idea of the poets that the woman is a mystery will be solved. You can become a woman and know what is the mystery. You can become a man and know what is the mystery. There is no mystery at all. It is just a poetic conception. The difference is only biological, chemical, hormonal. That kind of infatuation I don't call love. I call it lust. And to be confused between lust and love has created your problem. You are asking, is it possible to experience love and meditation at the same time? Lust and meditation you cannot experience at the same time. Lust is against meditation. It is desire, an ugly desire. It takes you towards unconsciousness, and meditation is the greatest longing. The only longing which cannot be called a desire. And it takes you upwards towards more consciousness. Now both things you cannot do, going upward towards more conscious being and going downward towards more unconscious being. You cannot do them at the same time. But love and meditation both are reaching towards higher states of being. Meditation is a state of heartlessness, a state of silence, serenity, tranquility, a state of blissfulness. There is no reason why love should be against it. Out of blissfulness, love will flow. In fact, only a meditative person can be a loving person. And only a loving person can be meditative. Because both are going beyond the unconscious mind, the dark mind, the blind mind, and opening the doors of light and the beyond. There are different names and their different names have certain meaning and significance. Meditation is possible even if you are alone. In fact, it is possible only when you are alone. In your aloneness, utter purity, no crowd of thoughts or emotions or feelings, just a flame of being conscious. Meditation is the discovery of your own self. But once you have discovered the treasure, a tremendous need arises in you to share it. That sharing is love. Meditation is like the sun, and love is like the radiation reaching to far away flowers to open, for birds to sing, to make the whole living world alive, fresh, rejuvenated. Exactly what sun is doing to the whole solar system, meditation does to the whole human world. It radiates love. And if meditation does not radiate love, then one is in some fallacy. What he is thinking is meditation is not meditation. It may be concentration, it may be contemplation, but it is not meditation. Concentration is of the mind, one-pointedness of the mind. Contemplation is also of the mind, not one-pointedness, but one subject matter. If you are thinking about light, you go on thinking about light. Higher and deeper and more possibilities and implications of light. But you keep track of one dimension. So we can define contemplation as thinking in one single dimension, not going astray, not going here and there, not allowing many different sort of thoughts, but one singular path, moving in the same direction, science depends on concentration and philosophy depends on contemplation. Religion depends on meditation. Meditation is when mind is not functioning at all. When mind is absolutely silent and still, as if absent. In this absentness of mind, your authentic being surfaces. Your mask disappears and your original face is encountered for the first time. For the first time you know who you are. And this experience of oneself is the experience of one's divineness. Out of this divineness radiates love. It is not addressed to anyone in particular. It simply radiates to friend and to foe, to the familiar and to the stranger. It does not know any discrimination. When the sun rises, it does not rise only for roses and not for marigolds. It does not rise only for rich people and not for the poor. It does not rise only for the strong and not for the weak. It rises unaddressed. It radiates in all directions. Whoever has eyes will be able to see it. Having eyes simply means whoever is receptive, whoever is sensitive will be able to see it. The sun does not rise only for the blind. Only a blind man can pass a man of meditation without feeling his love. I mean spiritually blind. One who does not have any idea of who he is within his being, who knows himself according to others, what they say. His knowledge of himself is nothing but a collection of opinion of other people. He does not know himself directly, immediately. And because he does not know himself, he remains closed. Otherwise it was not possible to crucify Jesus. Those who crucified Jesus must have been spiritually blind. The man was absolutely innocent. And he was full of love. And he has not harmed anyone. In fact, he was trying to help everyone . But it is a strange world. Here blind people are more than those who have eyes. And because the people who have eyes and receptivity are in a minority, they remain silent. It is very unfortunate that the blind are very articulate and those who have eyes, seeing that the majority is blind, remain silent. They go on seeing that Socrates is being poisoned by the blind, and they don't protest. In my eyes, the people who poisoned Socrates or crucified Jesus or murdered Mansur or assassinated Sarmad, they were less responsible than those who knew that what is happening is absolutely wrong, but remained silent out of fear. There is a beautiful incident when Al-Hillas Mansur, a Mohammedan mystic, was being very primitively assassinated. Jesus' crucifixion is far more sophisticated. Socrates' poisoning is even more sophisticated. But nobody has suffered as Al-Hillas Mansur. First they cut his legs. They killed him piece by piece just to torture him as much as possible to the optimum. Then they cut his hands. Then they destroyed his eyes with hot iron rods. They went on piece by piece. Thousands of people have gathered to see Al-Hillas Mansur's master, Zunnad, a famous teacher, was also present. Of course, he was absolutely against what was happening. But the weakness of the good seeing the majority, he remained silent. He knew that Mansur is born in thousands of years. He is one of the rarest flowers. He had been a teacher of thousands, but none of his student, none of his disciple has reached to the heights as Mansur. All this he understood. People were throwing stones before the assassination began. He did not want to know people that he is not throwing stones. So instead of throwing a stone, he threw a rose flower, just to show that he has thrown 9,000s of stones. Who can find out what he has thrown? But people saw that he is throwing something. But Mansur could see, when thousands of stones were falling on him, hitting him, and blood was flowing all over body, he could see a rose flower also fell on his face, and he knew this rose flower can only be thrown by his master Junayd. And he shouted from his cross, that Junayd, these thousands of stones are not hurting me so much as your rose flower has created a wound in my very soul. This statement is tremendous. Thousands of stones have not hurt me. These are people who don't know. But you know me. I have grown under your shadow. Still, instead of protesting, you are so cowardly that you were afraid that if you don't throw something, people may start suspecting around you that you may be a friend. And tears came to his eyes. And he said, these tears are not for these stones. These stones are not worth for my tears. These tears are for the man who has thrown the rose flower to me. And still Junayd remained silent. The good man is responsible. The silent man, the understanding man, is responsible for all that has happened in the history of man. Against the people who were just pure love, pure silence, pure godliness. But perhaps nothing can be said to those good people either, because if they had come out, there would have been another assassination and nothing else. That's what Junayd said afterwards, and he was right. Because other disciples asked him that it was very shameful that when he called your name, you behaved as if you are not Junayd. It is shameful that you did not protest when your greatest disciple was being tortured, tortured brutally. No, animals even don't torture anybody that way. If you want to kill someone, kill. But to cut him by pieces, is so condemnable. The other disciple said, "You must have protested." Junnet said, "Do you think it would have saved him? I have also thought about it. It is not that I have not felt the tragedy. I have felt as much hurt as Mansur. I had loved him. But I knew that if I had come out and protested, then instead of one man, two men would have been assassinated. Nothing would have been achieved by it." But still I feel it would have been better that two men were assassinated instead of one. I differ from Junnet, because there may have been a third man who would have come out, and three men may have provoked courage in many more. It is not that in that vast crowd there was only Junnet who was seeing that it is absolutely inhuman and ugly, and the crime was nothing. The crime was simply that Al-Hillaz Mansur has said, "I am God, Analha." And he has said simultaneously that it is not that only I am God, you are also. I know it, you have still to know it. That's the only difference. So he was not speaking because of his ego. He was speaking because of his experience. He was not denying godhood to anyone. He was simply saying, "Your God seems to be asleep. My God is awake." One day it was also asleep and I was as ignorant as you are. One day you will be also as awake as I am. It is only a difference of time. Such a compassionate man. Why humanity has behaved so badly with these people? One of the reasons, fundamental reasons, is that their height hurts people's egos. Their silence, their love, their beauty, their grace, their blissfulness, everything hurts people. Because they are living in dark holes, in misery, in suffering, in anguish, and somebody is standing on the hilltop, sunlit, surrounded by fragrant flowers. They cannot forgive such a man. This is something to be deeply understood and remembered, that up till now, man has proved at large barbarous. All talk of civilization is nonsense. All talk of culture, Hindu, Mohammedan, Christian, is simply bullshit. Because the way we have behaved with our best sons and daughters is not cultured, is not human, it is subhuman, or perhaps even below animals, because no animal murders another animal of his own species. No lion will kill another lion. Howsoever hungry, he would rather die than kill. But man is the only animal again. He is very unique in many ways. He is the only one who kills people of his own species. Not only kills but eats. Just few days before, in Palestine, the people has demanded the government that we should be allowed to eat the dead people, because there is shortage of food, and it seems utterly uneconomical not to eat the dead people. Their demand was ugly, but more ugly is that the Palestinian government has accepted their demand, that it is okay. Because the government cannot supply food. On what grounds it can deny them? First, they will start eating people who die naturally, and then they will start eating people who have been killed purposely. That has happened in Buddhist countries, in China, in Japan, in Korea, in Taiwan. You will find hotels where it is written that here only the meat of the naturally dead animals is available. Now, so many natural deaths of animals don't happen anywhere in the world that they can supply food for the whole country. How many animals you see dying naturally? Those boars are absolutely false as you will find in India. Every restaurant, hotel, sweet shop, they will all be having a board that only pure ghee is used here. And everywhere, vegetable ghee made by vegetables, not by milk. and sometimes even by rotten vegetables, not even the best quality vegetables, is available. From where they get the pure ghee so much, you cannot get. You cannot get even pure milk. I was a postgraduate student, and the man who used to supply the milk to all the students in the hostel was known as a very saintly man. He was really called Sant Baba. Because everybody thought that he is so honest that he is supplying pure milk. He always used to come with his son carrying milk. I heard him many times, if somebody asks that Sant Baba, is the milk really pure? And he will immediately put his hand on his son's head, that if I have mixed water in the milk, my son will die. Naturally people thought. I heard it many times. I started thinking that there must be some clue to the mystery. Because I used to take his milk and I knew it is not pure. It was so thin that it was more water than milk. One day I took him aside and I said to him, no need of your son and no need for you to put your hand on his head. You just tell me one thing. Is it really true? For a moment he was silent, and then he said, it is not true. I said, you are every day offering your son. He said, it is very simple. I never mix water into milk. I always mix milk into water. So I am not making any wrong statement. You cannot get anything pure. I have heard about Mullah Nasruddin that he wanted to commit suicide. So he went and got poison with great difficulty from a chemist. He had to bribe him. Because from where he will get the prescription for poison? And without prescription, the chemist said, I cannot give anything. You have to have a doctor's prescription. He said, who is going to give me the prescription? I want to commit suicide. You take these 100 rupees or 200 rupees, because I am going to die, what I am going to do with the rupees afterwards? So he bribed him, went very happily home, mixed the poison in the milk, drank it, slept, waited and waited and waited, and there was no death coming, not even sleep. Many times he woke up, looked all around, whether he is in hell or heaven, but his wife was snoring by his side. He said, "My God, how long this poison is going to take?" Because the chemist was saying, the moment you put it on your tongue, you are gone. And it was getting morning. The whole night he was waiting, morning has come, and his wife was still snoring by his side. He rushed to the chemist. He was just opening the doors of his shop, and asked him, "What is the matter?" He said, "What can I do? You know, in this country you cannot find anything pure. Everything is mixed. In a way it is good. Nobody can commit suicide, at least by taking poison. A man of love is really the only man who is cultured, who is civilized. And such a love arises only as a fragrance of meditation. Hence my insistence on meditation. Unless we turn on people towards meditation on a vaster scale as it has never been done before, there is not much hope for future humanity. But I am not a pessimist, not a single inch. I am an absolute optimist. I will believe to the very last moment when the world is committing suicide in a world war, to the last moment I will trust that man will wake up. Seeing such a tremendous tragedy ahead, how can people remain asleep? Now there are only two alternatives, either suicide or meditation. Life has brought us to such a point where there are not many roads, just two roads, two possibilities, simple choice. Either humanity chooses to commit suicide in the leadership of Ronald Reagan, or humanity chooses to meditate, to be silent, to be peaceful, to be human, to be loving. Only through meditation we can defeat the politicians. and the politicians need to be totally defeated. Their power has to be destroyed forever. Their nuclear weapons and their atomic weapons have to be thrown in the Atlantic and in the Pacific. And if they want to jump with them, they can jump also. Because they are the greatest criminals in the world. Ordinary criminals may murder somebody and you take them to the gallows. And Adolf Hitler kills 8 million people alone. Joseph Stalin kills 1 million Russians, his own people, without any trouble. And all these politicians go on continuing, creating more and more weapons, how to destroy humanity. And they are the leaders. They are the guides of people. With these blind politicians dominating the world, there is no hope. I invite the whole humanity, because this is a decisive moment. This is the time when a great revolution is needed, a revolution against all politicians, without any discrimination whether they are socialist, communist, fascist, capitalist, whether they believe in democracy or they believe in dictatorship, it does not matter. For the first time, all politicians are standing together to destroy humanity. And if we can make men free from the political jargon, the only way to free men is to make men loving, peaceful. So he simply drops the weapons and he says there are no need. We are not going to kill each other. And if you have too much urge to fight, then presidents and prime ministers can have boxing matches and we all will enjoy. It will be really great. What is the need of destroying so many innocent people for few idiots who cannot come to a solution? Seeing perfectly well that the time is becoming shorter and shorter, and any accident is possible, and there will be no humanity at all. I have heard that the Third World War has happened, and a monkey sitting on a tree says to a female monkey, "Darling, should we start it all again?" And he is having an apple in his hand. Eat it again and God will throw you out of the Garden of Eden and the beginning of another humanity. But that humanity will again end up in some Ronald Reagan. It won't be different. Only difference that can be called a difference is the difference of consciousness. And meditation is nothing but a science of creating that difference. You are asking, is it possible to experience love and meditation at the same time? And I am saying to you, it is only possible. Love is only possible if meditation is possible. They are both two wings of the same bird. And if you want the bird to fly high in the sky of consciousness, both the wings are needed, love and meditation. But not your kind of love. You should remember the difference between your kind of love and the love I am talking about. The husband and wife were having a terrible argument. Finally, the wife threw up her arms and exclaimed, "Why did I have to marry you? To find out how stupid you are." "You did not have to," replied the husband angrily. "You should have known it the minute I asked you. Who is going to ask you except a stupid person?" That very moment it was clear. There was no need for so many years to wait to find out. I am not talking about this love. The new fully automatic aeroplane was making its first cross-country flight. A recorded announcement said, "This is the first all-automatic jet. There is no pilot, no crew. Press a button and we take off. Press another button and dinner is served. Press another button and we land. Nothing can go wrong, can go wrong, can go wrong, can go wrong." And we are sitting on a volcano of nuclear weapons, and everything can go wrong. Just press a button. Your question is not only a personal question. It has become now a question for the whole humanity, the whole earth. But unfortunately, in the 5 billion people, it is difficult to find even few hundred people who are sincerely interested in finding what meditation is, not by studying about it, but by experiencing it. And time is running short. Every moment we are coming closer to end. Situation which may be deliberately created or may be just accidental. We have known the experiences 2 days before. In France, something went wrong. In Russia, something went wrong. You cannot trust machines. Man has not trusted man, but he has trusted machines better. You will be surprised to know that in Japan, which is the most technologically advanced country in the world today, it has left America far behind. Its currency is now the most valuable. The dollar is second rate. In America, the greatest rich man has only $4.5 billion. In Japan, the richest man has $21 billion. And Japan is the only country where thousands of robots, mechanical men, are functioning and working in the factories. They are cheap, because they don't get temperamental, they don't go on a strike, they don't ask for wages. The question of rise does not arise. They work 24 hours, no shift change. But suddenly, last month, a strange thing has happened. That's what I call accident. In one factory, 5 persons were killed by the robot mechanical man. Something went berserk. Those robots simply grabbed the people who were passing by, gave them a good hug, finished. Engineers could not believe what is happening. Is it some kind of love that has arisen in the heart of the robot? And not only one, 5 robots in one factory. Just in one day, And from that day people are keeping far away. Even engineers are looking from far away. Because to come close, if the robot falls in love with you, then just a good hug. And you are finished. I'm not talking about this kind of love. Man also does this kind of love. Not only robots. If you watch men, how many men have killed how many women, although they are alive? How many men have been killed by women, although they are alive? But just alive, breathing, surviving. But they don't know any life. Love has destroyed their life. This is not the love I'm talking about. Love should enhance life, make it richer and more beautiful and more blissful. Lovers should give more freedom to each other, more individuality, more dignity. But what is happening for centuries is just the opposite. Lovers are trying to dominate each other, to destroy each other, to enslave each other. I'm not talking about that love. That love cannot go with meditation. My wife thinks she is a chicken. The husband explained to the psychiatrist, "That's a serious delusion," was the reply. "How long has this been going on?" 3 years, mumbled the husband. 3 years? Said the sob shrink. "Why did not you bring her in before now?" "Well," replied the embarrassed husband, "frankly, we needed the eggs." This is going on. Almost with every couple. They are driving each other crazy. This is not love. If this is love, then what is hate? The very idea of domination, the very desire to be powerful over others, shows a poverty of soul. It shows that you don't have power over yourself. Hence the desire to have power over others. That's why I say the politician is the poorest person in the world, because his desire is to have power over millions of people. This desire shows his poverty. He has no power over himself. And he wants to have power. But It does not matter. He may have power on 1 person or 1,000,000 person or 1,000,000,000 person. It does not matter. His inner feeling of inferiority, that he has no power within himself, will remain the same. He can deceive the world, but he cannot deceive himself. That's the difference between the politician and the religious person. The religious person searches for power over himself, and the politician searches for power over others. The politician is bound to be violent, destructive, ugly, barbarous. Only a man who wants to be power over himself, who wants to know where is the source of his life, from where he is getting his energy, where is the life an energy source within him. The search for it is meditation. And finding it is enlightenment. And once you have found it, you have so much, in such abundance, that you cannot help except saving it. You become a rain cloud which wants to shower on the thirsty earth. And you must have smelled the sweet fragrance that comes from the thirsty earth, from the first rain clouds shower on it. In gratitude, in thankfulness, a man of meditation like Gautam Buddha showers his love. He is a rain cloud, or better to call him a love cloud, who showers his love to all those who are thirsty, to all those who are aware that love is sovereign. But the majority is so foolish, they immediately open their umbrellas. They protect themselves from love. They protect themselves from Gautam Buddhas. They protect themselves from Socrates. It's strange people. Something is basically wrong, and that is, they don't know themselves, and they don't know their thirst, and they don't know what nourishment they need. Love is the nourishment that is missing in the world. Yossel Moskowitz had lost all interest in life, so he went to see his psychiatrist. The usually patient shrink decided to use shock tactics this time and said sharply, "What would happen if I cut off your left ear?" "I could not hear," replied, yourself with his shy, then what would happen if I cut off your right ear, barked the string, I could not see, said yourself, beginning to show signs of boredom, the psychiatrist became alarmed. This is serious. Why do you say you could not see if I cut off your right ear? Because, said yourself with a yawn, my head would fall over my eyes. Both the ears gone, how can I see? The people you think are psychiatrists, psychologists, psychoanalysts, the people who are helping humanity to become more sane, are the most insane people in the world. The aesthetics are very clear. From no other profession, so many people go mad as from the profession of psychiatry. The proportion is double. From any other profession, professors used to be in the past the champions of going mad. Now they are number two. Number first is the psychologist. They commit suicide 4 times more than any other professor. And these are the people who are helping humanity in being sane, in being normal, in being healthy, in being intelligent. These are the people supposed to teach you how to live and how to live joyously. These are the people who claim that their function is to teach the art of living. But if these people are going to teach the art of living, it is going to be really dangerous art of living. It will not be art of living, it will be art of at the most vegetative. The professor asked a young girl in his psychology class, which part of the body expands to 10 times? Its natural size under an emotional impact. Blushing, the girl replied, I would rather not answer that. The professor called on the boy sitting next to her, who promptly replied, the pupil of the eye. The professor turned back to the girl and said, your confusion shows 3 things. One, that you did not do your homework. 2, that you have a dirty mind. And 3, that one day you will be sadly disappointed.
Okay, Guru? Yes, Bhagwan.